This is commonly known as the parable of the talents or the treasures that the Lord has given us. And so we'll reflect on them today. As I was thinking about what to talk about today, I didn't have a whole lot of time because I had to go up yesterday to my cousin's wedding. He's the youngest cousin, the last of our cousins in our extended family, and so he was finally getting married, so it was a great and exciting day for myself and for all my relatives. And so we made the long drive together all up to just north of St. Cloud, had a beautiful wedding. We got together in the church, the presider got up, and everything started out great, and presider got up to give his wedding homily, which was very beautiful, and then he did something different. He stopped, and he came down from around the pulpit, and he started walking right towards the bride and the groom. You could just see their eyes getting bigger and bigger. This wasn't expected, you know? And so if they didn't have enough anxiety already, you could see starting to double. And of course, we sitting out in the pews were thinking, what's he going to do, you know? So he had them stand up in the sanctuary, and he brought them over to the middle of the sanctuary. And as they were standing there, he had them lock arms, and then he pulled out of his pocket a blindfold, and he gave it to the husband, and he said, "Now, put this on your wife, blindfold her so she can't see." Well, as you can imagine, she'd love to hear those words, right? And so she put the blindfold on, and she couldn't see. And she was nervous, and then they got even more nervous when the presider said, "Now, Andy," that was the groom's name, "Andy, lead her down the steps." There's about three steps there. "Lead her down the steps into the main floor, blindfolded." And she could see that that was really a scary experience, being that she was in, you know, dress shoes and had her long dress, and she was blinded. She couldn't see, so she had to completely and totally trust her husband to do that. And so he did that very carefully, and she got down those three steps, and whew, they thought they were done. So the priest said, "You can take off the blindfold now," and then he said, "Now put it on your spouse, you know, on your husband-to-be." And so she did. Now the husband was blinded, and the bride had to lead him up the three stairs back to the sanctuary and to their chairs. Well, as you can imagine, it was pretty tense in the church as this was going on, because you certainly didn't want them to trip and fall, which could have easily happened, but they didn't, you know, and the message was really loud and clear. Times in our lives, you know, whether it's a married couple or a single person or whoever it might be, we're going to be asked to maybe carry crosses. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be temptations. There's going to be trials. There's going to be, amidst the joys of life, some, you know, struggle, some areas of perhaps darkness where even though we want to see the light of Christ, for whatever reason, we're being tested, and we can't. And so the good news in a marriage situation especially is that it's very seldom that both couples will be tried at the same time. And so we can rely on our spouse, you know, even when we're in darkness, to communicate that. And then our spouse can step up and say, you know, "I'm here for you. Let me take you to the light, Jesus Christ. Let me keep you on that road of faith and hope, even despite the cross that you're carrying in this life at this time." And friends can do the same thing. Children, you can ask your parents for guidance when you're having a bad day. Whatever it is, you know, we use those gifts that God has given us to help those in darkness, to continue to lead them toward the light. So it was a very positive message that we took home yesterday. In the same way, again, the Lord illustrates that in the parable today, that God has given us all many, many gifts at our baptism, put those seeds in our hearts and souls, and they begin to grow and mature as we learn more about our faith, and we use the sacraments of the Eucharist, and they finally reach maturity through the sacrament of confirmation and start bearing fruit then for the rest of our lives, as long as we keep our faith lives healthy. And so then we may ask ourselves today, if we're to share our gifts with one another, to help one another, what are my gifts? Some people might be thinking, oh, I don't have any gifts, Father. You do. You do. If you were baptized, you do. And so I remember when we were being taught about this in my old grade school, I was probably in third grade, and I remember our teacher getting up there, and she had read a story from the Bible similar to this, and she was trying to get us to identify the gifts that we had. So she passed out a piece of paper and a pencil, and she said, all right, boys and girls, now write down your gifts. And we all sat there, and after a couple minutes, when she realized no pencils were moving, she got the message that we didn't fully understand what gifts were, what she was talking about. So she got up and she said, okay, let me make this easier for you guys. She said, write down what others have told you that they like about you. Oh, well, that made it a lot easier. So then the pencils began moving, and then we got to share with one another. You know, but even as adults, we can reflect in the same way. You know, some of us have been told that we're good listeners, maybe very caring. Others were told, maybe, perhaps, that we're good prayers, that we're generous with our time or with our stewardship. And some maybe have been told that they always seem to put others first, they're always there for their friends. Others may have their individual talents recognized. For example, some may be good writers or studiers. Some may be good at athletics or acting. Others were maybe told at work that they are very good and dependable worker. Others are told that they're intelligent and wise. All of these are gifts. All of these are gifts that God has given us to share with others. Because once we realize what we have been given by the Lord, then we can answer that call to go out and lift the spirits of others. In a sense, we become the physical hands and the voice and the smile of Christ in our world today. However, as you heard in the parable, there is also a word of warning here from our God. You may have noticed that one of the stewards in today's parable took, out of fear, the gift of his master's money and did nothing with it, that gift. He just buried it, you know. And the point is that he selfishly kept it to himself. He forgot about it. And so that's not a good way to grow in our faith. Now, there are people in our world and in our communities and schools and families that we know need our help, need our prayers, need our love. And they need us to share our gifts and talents with them. By doing this, we are living out that mission and our purpose as Christians, which God has called us to embrace. That's why we are here, to learn to love more faithfully God and our neighbor by sharing those gifts that we have been given. To not to share our gifts or not even attempt to bother to find out what they are so that we can share them is, in its essence, selfish. To use our gifts only for ourselves is prideful. Both of these ways of living keep us disconnected from our loving God, and as we've sometimes experienced, have a negative effect on our communities, on our home life, on our faith life. By not sharing our gifts, we do nothing to help alleviate the suffering of others in this life. So today, the Lord urges us to spend some extra time with him in prayer to recognize our gifts and to be thankful for them. And if we still struggle to find out what they are, again, ask someone who knows you well, and they will tell you. Then, relying on the strength and inspiration God gives us through prayer and through the Eucharist, let us go forth and look for those ways and opportunities in which we can share those gifts with others to make this world a better place. If we're having trouble finding those opportunities, again, ask the Lord to send those opportunities to you, and they will come in surprising ways. So today, let us remember that Christ is truly present, as our Pope Francis so often reminds us, in the suffering, in the poor, in the hurting, and in the sorrowful, whether we know them or not. As Jesus says, they will always be with you. And so today we pray that our hearts and minds may always be open to answering God's call to faithful discipleship and stewardship, so that after a life of service and charity, we can experience together the fullness of God's love in the heavenly kingdom.